We will have that for you. That's brought to you by I'm On Communications. And your questions and text are welcome coming up a little bit later on. Huge night in the alleys tonight. We will explain that coming up. It is a gym class for a Wednesday right here on KGYM. Well, good afternoon and welcome. Scott Unesh alongside Mark Dukes. Kyle Mann, our producer. It is the gym class coming your way here on KGYM, 1600 AM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM. I felt like we should start the show today, and these things usually happen in threes. Of course, Robert Guillaume passing away yesterday, and today we learn of the untimely passing of another legend as the great Fats Domino dying today, also at the age of 89, incidentally. And of course, Fats Domino, one of the true greats among early rockers, 50s rock and roll, and probably best known for what song, Mark? Made famous by Richie Cunningham on Happy Days.
I don't know. Wasn't a big collector of
Blueberry
his music.
Hill.
Okay, fine.
With Richie singing I Found My Thrill on Blueberry Hill.
Okay, all right.
All right. Google it, kids. Kyle's looking at me like, what are you talking about, old man? At this point. Oh, man. There he goes. There it was. Yeah, look it up. But Fats Domino, he was one of the legends, and passing away today at the age of 89. Got a good show for you. We're going to talk Iowa State, TCU. We'll do that coming up here in just a little bit. Also, Chris Liss of rotowire.com. He will be joining us coming up here in just a little while. Of course, we got the Nexus of the Universe is coming together. We got basketball starting. We got baseball ending. We got hockey underway. We got basketball on the pro side underway. Football going, of course. But last night, taking the headlines, Mark, it was a throwback day, not just because today is the 30th anniversary of your Minnesota Twins winning the World Series. Congratulations on that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Also, the 31st anniversary of the Bill Buckner game, the ball from Ray Knight going through the wickets of Billy Buckner at first base for the Boston Red Sox in Game 6. So a couple of milestones today as far as the world of baseball is concerned. But last night we had a throwback. Ladies and gentlemen, we had a 2-hour and 28-minute World Series game, a postseason game. That was lickety-split, and if you take out all the extra time for postseason games, that thing would have taken about 2 hours and 10 minutes if it was a regular season game. Bravo to the Dodgers and the Astros last night.
Yeah, fastest World Series game in 25 years. 2 hours, 28 minutes, and it was all due to great pitching, I think. Clayton Kershaw, 7 innings, 11 strikeouts. Dallas Keuchel gave up a couple home runs, but otherwise was pretty good. But yeah, a game that gets over before the 10 o'clock news, we don't see that every day.
We could all watch it and listen to it at this point. But not only that, it was just tremendous. I mean, Clayton Kershaw was on, and that was really good to see. And then not like Dallas Keuchel did not pitch well. Yeah, he gave up a gopher ball in the very first pitch of the game. Chris Taylor was looking for something, and he got it, and he hit it 3 miles. And, you know, other than that, a 2-run home run by Justin Turner later on, just a great game filled with very good pitching. And I know, and my point to this is, I don't think anyone in the sports world is going to give baseball a break because, of course, you've had the, oh my gosh, baseball is taking forever crowd. And granted, I think that baseball, sometimes when it gets into the postseason and you see 5 to 2 games that take 4.5 hours, yeah, I can see that a little bit. Still gonna take time to tune it in and listen to it. But Now it was the other way last night. Oh, there wasn't enough offense. It was boring. It was unexciting, even though it took 2 hours and 28 minutes. So I don't think we're going to please anybody, the non-baseball people out there. Is that just my thinking or?
Probably not, but I thought it was a great game to watch. It was immaterial all the time. You know, Kershaw's been under a lot of scrutiny about not performing in the postseason. Well, he's 3-0 this postseason and done quite well. And to limit to the Astros to 3 hits, and that's saying something because that's a very potent lineup. And now game 2 tonight, Justin Verlander, who's been very good since coming over to the Astros against Rich Hill. Verlander's been, I think he's 9-0.
Yes.
For the Astros. So he's been excellent, and he's going to need an outing tonight to even this thing up.
Yeah, he will. But and he has been absolutely outstanding so far. And boy, that game last night, it had good defense all over the place, and it was snappy. The pitchers were around the plates. I thought the home plate umpire was very good at giving just a little bit of the corners, but not too much of the corners, and he was consistent with both sides of things. And I just thought it was just a terrific, terrific baseball game. Mm-hmm. And tonight we'll have 8-5 with 7 errors, and it will take 5.5 hours.
That's baseball.
And there's no clock as far as baseball is concerned. What did you think about it last night, Game 1 of the World Series? 319-366-1600 if you want to weigh in on the Hurtina Stocker Jewelers text line. Again, that's 319-366-1600. Love to hear from you out there. As the World Series underway, we'll have Game 2 for you coming up tonight. We'll join up with ESPN's coverage at 7 o'clock, 7:10 with the first pitch. Verlander and Rich Hill going at it tonight at a very sultry Dodger Stadium again.
Poll question, KGYMRadio.com is where to find it. Will Justin Verlander and the Astros even the World Series tonight? That's a simple yes or no. Thanks to Emo's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's. They'll have it on tonight.
Absolutely.
We'll have it on radio tonight.
Absolutely. Yes, we are. Of course, that's only the second most important thing in Los Angeles tonight. The Lakers are playing the Wizards. Oh.
I hope John Wall scores 50.
Lonzo and LeVar. I'm to the point now where I feel sorry for that kid. I really am to the point where I feel sorry for him. I think he just needs to tell Dad, just be quiet, go in the corner, sell your shoes. Whatever the case may be. Here I am talking about it. I shouldn't talk about it. I shouldn't even mention it. But you hear it all day, and it just kind of absorbs into your psyche, I think, at some point.
Joe on the text line, 3560. Scott, don't be embarrassed. I was with you the whole way on Blueberry Hill. Cunningham, the whole deal.
Oh, thank you for having my back, Joe. I do appreciate that. I do appreciate that out there. Yeah. They don't make them like that anymore. Happy Days was a great show.
It was a good show.
Until Fonzie jumped the shark, which, in case you're wondering where the term jump the shark came from. Little TV trivia for you out there at this point. This is what we like to do. We like to help people out here in the Gym Class program. We're going to talk to Brian Estridge. He's the play-by-play voice of the TCU Horned Frogs. That'll be coming up here in just a couple of moments. And then Chris Liss of rotowire.com will be joining us coming up here as well. Reminder, coming up on Friday night, we got the first round of the high school football playoffs for you. And our high school football coverage is presented by First Federal Credit Union. And you can check them out online at firstfedcu.com. Myself, John Hegarty, Jeff Moss, we will be up at Wartburg College as it'll be Cedar Falls, in essence, hosting Cedar Rapids Prairie. The game is Cedar Falls' home game, but the Unidome is booked this weekend by USA Wrestling. So it will be played at Walston Hoover Stadium up in Waverly, the home of the Wartburg Knights. Very nice stadium, by the way. Beautiful facility they have up in Waverly. So we will have that one for you on 1600 AM. Meanwhile, Alex Kuhn, Gary Fickell, Todd Warner will be down at Trojan Field as Iowa City West, number one in the state, will take on the Washington Warriors. And that'll be on both FMs, 107.5 and 106.3 FM for you to enjoy. So There you go.
Xavier also in action at home against Oskaloosa.
Yep.
And first round, you get some good games. This is a round where you might get some lopsided scores.
A few, but not too many.
Cedar Falls Prairie, I think, will not be a lopsided game.
Not like it used to be with that infamous sub-state slash old first round.
Right.
When you had the 3-6s and the 2-7s going against the 9-0s, and it got really ugly. Now, it could happen again next year. Who knows? The cycle begins again every 2 years. New districts are drawn up. Will 4A continue to have the same number of teams? There's talk they're going to drop it to 40, and that would bring in wild cards. It'd be 10 district champs and runner-ups and 6 wild cards. So we'll have more controversy next year. How things go. We'll ask Cuellar all those questions, as he is now with the Iowa High School Athletic Association. We got one of us with the organization now. I feel good about that.
It can't be all bad, right?
No, that's got to be good. Former Des Moines Register sports writer, Chris Cuellar, now with the Iowa High School Athletic Association. So congratulations on that as they come together here.
As far as we know, no relation to Mike Cuellar.
Spelled the same, but
yeah.
As far as we know, we should ask him that next time we talk with him. I'll ask. I'll find out.
Okay.
I'll find out in the next couple of weeks for you out there. Yeah, Brian Estridge is going to join us coming up here, and we will talk about the TCU Horned Frogs, one of the big, I don't know if surprise is the right word, but they've got the Big 12 right where they want it right now. And we will see how that plays out coming up on Saturday. Did want to mention this, and this is for the take it for what it's worth department. CBSSports.com, as they get ready for the college basketball hoop season, which, by the way, gets underway on Friday. Unbelievably, Iowa will be playing, I believe, William Jewell coming up
on Friday.
Mm-hmm. On Friday night. And that will be down in Iowa City. And that is a very early exhibition game, but exhibition game nonetheless. CBSSports.com and Matt Norlander came out with the rankings of all 351 college basketball teams. I don't know how long it took the young man, but more power to him at this point. Especially when you get down to 275 or so. You know, God bless him. And if just in case you are wondering here, the teams in the state of Iowa. Iowa is the highest at number 55. That's where the Hawkeyes come in. Iowa State comes in at number 100, which I told Alex Kuhn that, and he said Ken Pom has Iowa State at number 34, which I kind of looked at him kind of weird and said, huh? Mm-hmm. Not that Iowa State, you know, based on what they've done in the past, doesn't deserve that, but I think that's a little bit high. UNI comes in at number 122. Number 122. And I will find the Drake Bulldogs for you very, very quickly here. I'm going to have to probably go down a little bit, Mark. You have some scrolling music here? What happened on Dancing with the Stars last night?
You know what? This is doing a ranking like this is akin to, you know, I was saying, this guy is the number 54 shooting guard in the class of 2019.
Exactly.
Come on.
Exactly. And I said, for what it's worth.
It's a conversation piece.
Exactly.
I understand.
This and a quarter will buy you a cup of coffee in the day. Not now with the newfangled coffee, but in the day, this and a cup of coffee.
I'm down in the 300s yet?
I'm down to 266, and I have not found our beloved Bulldogs yet. Drake women would do a lot better. Drake women picked to win the Missouri Valley. There they are, 287 for Nico Medved and the Drake Bulldogs. Right behind Southeast Missouri State and right ahead, the University of California, Santa Barbara. One of the great nicknames of all time, Mark. You know what that would be? Santa Barbara?
Yes. Oh, man. It's right on the tip of my tongue. Something have to do with bananas?
No. That's a different one. Gauchos.
Okay.
The Gauchos.
What am I thinking of?
You're thinking of the banana slugs.
Banana slugs, right.
There you go. You were on the right track. You were on the right track.
Right
though.
State, yeah.
There you go. All right. Want to talk some TCU?
Let's do it.
All right. Brian Estridge is going to join us right around the corner. We'll talk Iowa State and TCU with the play-by-play voice of the Horned Frogs, number 4 in the country. And we'll do that when we come back. You're listening to The Gym Class, a Wednesday edition here on 1600 AM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM KGYM.
Yep, I know, it's still warm out, but Doug McAllister and the folks at Pinnacle Realty know time flies. Turns out that if you want to sell your home or buy a home in the Cedar Rapids area and be set by the holidays, you've got to get rolling now. Doug McAllister at Pinnacle Realty knows all about timing and holiday creep. That means not letting the holidays creep up on you. Let's just call buying and selling a home by the time the snow flies your early holiday gift to yourself. Just go to soldincr.com to learn more. That's soldincr.com.
Ho, ho, ho.
Get a financial education Monday mornings at 7:20 on The Gym during Corridor Money Matters featuring Tryon Investments. Learn even more at tryoninvestments.com.
Colonel Sanders from KFC here to talk about the good old days. Well, the good old days are still here in chicken form, specifically in KFC's original recipe fried chicken with 11 herbs and spices. Our delicious chicken is still hand-breaded and pressure-fried just like it was then. Get your fill with 2 pieces of my original recipe in a $5 fill-up with mashed potatoes, a biscuit, a cookie, and a drink at a KFC near you. KFC, it's still finger-licking good. At participating KFCs, prices may vary. Tax extra.
Eastern Iowa sports is their domain. Back to The Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on KGYM.
We are back with you at 3:19 here on The Gym Class, KGYM, coming up on this Wednesday. Tomorrow, we have rescheduled Cal Eldred. He will be joining us on the program. And Mike Grimm, our friend, will join us, play-by-play voice of the Minnesota Golden Gophers, as Minnesota and Iowa will meet up for Floyd of Rosedale coming up on Saturday, and that will be at 5:35. The first ever, Mark, 5:35 kickoff in Kinnick Stadium history.
Yeah, that's due to FS1 being part of the television contract, and it's essentially a night game.
Essentially.
Shortly after kickoff, nightfall will come, so we'll call it a night game.
Call it that.
All right.
We'll call it that, as that'll be coming your way from Kinnick Stadium. We'll have Before the Boom at 3:30 for you on 107.5 and 106.3 FM, and then after the game, it will be After the Final Gun coming your way. Right here on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. And again, we'll talk to Brian Estridge coming up here in just a couple of moments as TCU and Iowa State getting ready to go at it. We have Game 2 of the World Series coming your way tonight, and that will be on all three of our frequencies from Dodgers Stadium just past 7 o'clock with the first pitch, and we will join it. Verlander on the mound for the Houston Astros, and Hill for the L.A. Dodgers.
A couple baseball-related texts to clean up while we wait for Brian. Kenneth at 2364, another thing you didn't see was the catcher going out to the mound several times every inning. Good old-fashioned ball game.
Yeah, rumors to the effect that that is the next thing that Major League Baseball is going to curtail. And, of course, no one does it more than Wilson Contreras. And he's not the only one that does it, but does it
an
awful
lot. It's a popular activity at Yankee Stadium, too.
Absolutely. The Yankees, the Red Sox, they all do it to a fault. And just the situation there, it does slow down the game. And I don't know how you're going to patrol that if you're Major League Baseball, but I guess that's one of the things they're going to look at. As far as the offseason is concerned, maybe limit how many times a catcher can go out there per inning. I don't know.
I'd be all for it.
I think it's great. I think it's great. I agree with the text. That's a reason why it sped up last night.
56-58, I'm happy for Kershaw. He has taken a lot of heat for his postseason history. He is one of the greatest pitchers of our era, and he showed why last night.
That seems to be a theme here. I know that Russillo was talking about that earlier today on his show, that he really felt good for Clayton Kershaw because he's had some problems in the postseason and finally had that shining moment for him to hang his star on. And, you know, did pretty good up to last night as far as the postseason is concerned, but last night was a real gem. And great to see Sandy Koufax there.
Mm.
Down the line. It's not enough Larry King last night.
Stars came out, huh?
Stars were there, man. The stars were there in La La Land. Magic and the rest of them. And the here's what gets me, and it's maybe I shouldn't even go down this rabbit hole. You've got Fox is notorious for showing a crowd shot of some type between every pitch. I think it's something that they just say, okay, we're going to do. So there's pretty good chance if you have a decent seat at Dodger Stadium or at Minute Maid, you're going to get on television. And you see these crowd shots and these seats that had to be, you know, hundreds of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not watching the game. They're on the phone. You're on your phone at game one of the World Series. You're missing a gem between Kershaw and Keuchel. And then they try to get on television. Hey, do you see me? I'm waving back here.
Yeah.
I'm you know, doing this, I'm doing that, blah, blah, blah. Oh, man, it drives me crazy. That drives me crazy. 324 here. We're efforting Brian Estridge, the play-by-play voice of the TCU Horned Frogs, and hoping to have him coming on.
Do you like John Smoltz? John Smoltz does a terrific job, I think.
I think so, too. Oh, he's no Ron Darling. No, I'm kidding. I do not like Ron Darling. I think Smoltz does a pretty good job. I am not a Joe Buck fan. I listen a lot, like I said, on our station here on KGYM. Because I think Shulman and Boone do a really good
job.
They
do, indeed.
And it's a... Yes, I know it's slightly ahead, everyone. But... you know, that's just, I get other things done when I'm listening to the radio and doing that in the background.
What do you think, Justin Verlander? Can he and the Astros even the World Series tonight? That's our poll question, KGYMRadio.com, brought to you by Emo's Hideaway. If I had to vote, I'd vote yes.
All right. I would say so, just based on the fact what Verlander has done as an Astro, and I think this series is going to go seven. Can it go seven if the Dodgers go up 2-0 tonight? I mean, it can, yes, mathematically, but we'll see. We'll see. Does Houston need to split in Los Angeles?
Well, it'd be nice, but down 2-0, we've come to find out the Yankees came back against the Astros, didn't complete the deal, but the Yankees did come back from a 2-0 deficit, took a 3-2 lead. Quite possible that the Astros can do the same thing should they lose tonight against the Dodgers.
Yeah. We're going to talk some football right now. 326, Brian Estridge joining us, play-by-play voice of the TCU Horned Frogs. Also works at WBAP down in the Metroplex, Dallas-Fort Worth. And how many people in the Metroplex are rooting for the Houston Astros, Brian? Good afternoon.
You obviously that are interested in them, but you know, there are going to be some that are going to hold that against the Astros as well. Nolan Leben as the obviously the GM and president of the Texas Rangers for a long period. But I think, you know, Texans are pulling for Texans. They'd like to see the Astros do well, and you know, I think that there's also a group that are pulling for the Dodgers because they got a pitcher, you know, who spent some time here, who again disappointed, but one that they keep their eye on. So I think it's going to be a great series, man. I'm looking forward to more of them.
Forecast, Brian, not great for Ames on Saturday. Wonder when the last time TCU played in snow.
The last time they played in snow. That's a great question. I had a game in Air Force several years ago where the temperature dropped 30 degrees during the game, and so they were used to it then. I think the days of the Mountain West are, you know, you remember those days at Wyoming and places like that, but. Mm-hmm. You know, a true game in snow, I'm trying to think here where that would have been. It's been a while, believe me.
Yeah, it's only about an inch or two. It's no big deal around here, Brian.
Yeah, right.
Well, and Iowa State fans are talking about the fact, the weather's in the Cyclones' favor and whatnot. And it's not like Texans never see 30 and 40-degree temperatures before. So I don't think it's going to be a big shock to the TCU football team.
No, I don't think it'll be that big of a deal, too. I think they'll actually look forward to it to get out of the heat for a while. You know, we live in the heat. It feels like 10 months out of the year. So to step away from it will be a good thing. I don't think that plays into it. I think you got two really good football teams. That's what matters. And, you know, I think you got two teams that have a lot on the line still and a lot to play for. Then, you know, I think it's also two teams that have kind of set a tone for themselves early in the season with the following the lead of their coaches. I mean, these are teams with terrific work ethics who play a physical style of football still, but can't put up points in big chunks. And I think that's refreshing in college football today to see a team that not only can score a ton, but also backs up a little bit of defense. And I think both of them do that.
This TCU team, Brian, seems very complete. Does it have any cracks at all?
You know, that's a great question. I was on a show earlier this morning, and I kind of brought that up. Is, you know, where do you find a weakness? Because if you talk about the offensive line has been dominating this year. I mean, and Kenny Hill has been terrific, and especially on third down at quarterback. The wide receiving core is explosive. You know, the running backs have been solid. Kyle Hicks has been banged up some this year, but kind of back on track. But between Darius Anderson and him, you got, you know, nearly 900 yards rushing right there. So hard to find a weakness on offense. And in defense, I mean, you guys saw the game against Kansas, albeit Kansas. I mean, there's not any weak links on this defense. The D-line is – now, I tell you what, if you want to find a weakness, if we want to chalk this up as a weakness, the one weakness might be you've got a lot of depth and a lot of athleticism and a lot of size along the defensive front. You don't have a ton of experience. So maybe that would be a weakness if you were looking for one, because there's not one at linebacker and there's not one in the secondary.
Iowa State vastly improved on defense, and it has done so the last couple, three games with three down and eight back. But I don't know if that'd be successful against TCU.
You know, they saw the 3-4 earlier in the year against Arkansas to TCU and had some success running the football against it. But, you know, the good thing about what Iowa State has done this year is they don't allow the big play, and they make you throw it in tight spaces. And, you know, so the Frogs have been successful running the football. I think that'll be a priority, obviously, against Iowa State this year. It really has been all year. I mean, you know, everybody talks about the air raid offense that TCU went to a couple of years ago. You look at it this year, and the Frogs are running the football nearly 60% of the time, and, you know, involving the tight end more in that passing game, which makes it a little bit more of a physical game. So, you know, I'm anxious to see how those two match up, this offense of TCU against, as you called it, a much improved defense of Iowa State.
Well, the guy at the throttle for TCU is Kenny Hill, and, of course, when he first came in there, he had some lows, but I tell you what, I'm really happy to see Kenny Hill and what he has done because he's really, really made this team his own.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that. I mean, if people last year lose sight of the fact that, you know, Kenny tried to make every throw the throw. He tried to make every play the play. He felt like he had to, that he had so much on him following Trevon Boykin. The expectations were high for this team, and I think did was he forced way too many footballs. He tried to force the tempo too many times. You had a group of wide receivers that led the country in drop passes. That's not going to do you any good if you're a quarterback. And in an offensive line that was young, that needed a coaching change, and it got one, a new position coach in Chris Thompson, now the offensive line coach they brought over from Arizona State. And so I think there were a lot of things going against Kenny last year. This year I think there's a lot of things going for him. Not the least of which is Kenny and his approach to the game and the fact that, hey, he's going to let it come to him. He's not going to force things. He doesn't have to be the guy. Here's a great example, guys, of where I think Kenny Hill is totally different. You know, he always had been kind of caught up in the numbers and things of that nature. They score on a 5-yard touchdown run. Shewu Alanalua, who is a terrific running back for TCU, power back, scores on a 5-yard touchdown run against Arkansas, and Kenny celebrated like he threw an 80-yard touchdown pass. And to me, that was the mark of the change in Kenny Hill, and it's been like that ever since.
Gary Patterson had some nice things to say about Joel Lanning this week, and rightfully so. What else did Patterson have to say about Iowa State?
Well, I mean, he loves the wide receiving core for one thing. You guys probably saw the comment. He referred to him as a basketball team, you know, with the height that they have at wide receiver. And obviously, Alan Lazard's the guy that gets a ton of attention. But he said, listen, guys, he's not the only one. You know, there's a whole covey of those guys at Iowa State that have been really good. He's really complimentary, Coach Campbell. He just likes the mindset of this football team, likes the confidence that they play with, likes the physical nature. He's one of those. He believes in what Coach Campbell's done. In fact, he talked about the fact that, hey, this is how it's supposed to be. You go get a guy from the Mid-American Conference who had paid his dues, who had learned all the positives of being a head coach, but he'd also learned from some of the negatives, maybe the mistakes that he made. And then he comes into a place like Iowa State, and he builds the program from the ground up the way that he wanted. And he said, you know, this is a guy who's you can already tell that he's a smart young football coach. He just really likes the way that he emphasizes the weight room. He talked about that as well. And he knows it's going to be a difficult atmosphere on Saturday.
Brian Estrin's joining us, play-by-play voice of the TCU Horned Frogs. Iowa State and TCU coming up on Saturday, 12:30 here on KGYM. Of course, Gary Patterson, as you know, Brian, he is the defensive mastermind down there in Fort Worth. And, boy, he's got a good one this year. 11th in the country right now and only giving up 80 yards a game against the in rushing. So they'll have their hands full of David Montgomery, though, on Saturday.
Yeah, and he talked about that. You know, don't lose sight of the running game at Iowa State. I think that's why he likes them. You know, I think he likes the Cyclones because they can do it all. They can throw the football and be successful. They can run it, obviously, with Montgomery and with Lanning. I think it's one of those cases, too, where, you know, it's a defense at TCU that he trusts. When he's got experience on the back end at safety and corner, that allows him to get a little more creative in his blitz package. It allows him also to leave those guys on islands so he can bring some pressure at times. And just ownership of his defense, I think, is important to him. When those guys get to that point of mastery, he becomes a little bit more of a more relaxed football coach. And whether you can tell it on the sidelines or not on Saturdays, he is that this year.
I wonder if you talk about this team's ability to focus based on its success so far. I say that because you've got a top 25 matchup this week, and then Texas, and then at Oklahoma.
Yeah, and I think that's where the experience of years past come into play for TCU. 2014 and that run for the CFP and then end up well, it is CFP. What am I saying? ended up in the Peach Bowl and the disappointment there. I think that comes into play. You've got some guys who were part of that 2014 team. I think also the fact that this team loves being the underdog, the fact that they were preseason number 5 in the Big 12. No one had them in the top 25. And I think that comes into play. I think Gary Patterson's a much better coach when he's an underdog. And it's a program over the years that has probably not gotten the respect that it's deserved. If you look at the last 20 years of college football, Alabama would probably be the one, but it's hard to find a program that has had more success than TCU has over a 20-year run, 17 of those with Gary Patterson as the head coach. And so because of that, it's a program that's accustomed to winning. There's a formula in place for winning. And they don't deviate from that formula. This trip to Ames will be a business trip for them. It's not a sightseeing trip to check out all the wonderful things in Ankeny. It's not that. It's an opportunity for TCU to kind of settle in and get ready for football.
Could go to the Casey's headquarters or in Ankeny,
which is on the list for me on Friday.
Be sure to hit it and get some pizza.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
There. What do you expect? I think for Iowa State to have a shot, they got to score some points, obviously. I don't think they can win to grind it out, you know, 14-10 game against TCU. I guess, what are your thoughts?
I don't think it'll be that kind of game. I think these two offenses are too good for that, even though we've got two stellar defenses. The way college football is today, no matter how, you know how it is, folks, no matter how good your defenses are, there's so much talent on the offensive side, and they can work so quickly that it's hard to keep them down. So I don't think we're in for a low scoring game. I don't also think we're in for a 51-49 game either. Don't get me wrong here, but I think this is a 35-28 sort of game. Maybe even a little bit lower. Maybe 28-24. I think that's what we're in for Saturday in Ames. I think we're in for a great one, I'll be honest.
Yep, and TCU gets a victory, another step toward a possible Big 12 championship and maybe the playoffs, but there's a lot of football to be said before that.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I mean, you know, it's hard to even talk about it when you know you've got Iowa State this week, and you got Texas looming ahead. You know, Texas is a much improved team. You still got to go on the road to Oklahoma. You got to go to Texas Tech, where anything can happen in Lubbock. You know how that can be out there. And then you still got a Baylor team that pushed West Virginia Saturday to the limit. So they're no gimmies. We're not chalking any of them up. You know, we used to talk about the fact when we were in the Mountain West, hey, at least we got New Mexico coming up. There's no New Mexicos on our schedule.
Yeah, no Lobos in the Big 12. So, but no. Maybe that's a good thing, I guess. But we got Ankeny, though. So enjoy that on Friday on your way. But, Brian, appreciate the time as always. Thank you very much. Enjoy the trip, and best of luck to the Horned Frogs coming up.
I'll look forward, fellas. I'm wearing my long underwear, so I should be all right.
You'll be fine. Thanks. Brian Estridge, play-by-play voice of the TCU Horned Frogs, and one of the really good play-by-play guys around the country as well. TCU and Iowa State coming up. That'll be at 12:30 with another one, John Walters and Eric Heft on 1600 AM. We will take a break, come back. We're going to get to Bowling Night in America, and we'll get to Chris Liss, rotowire.com, so stay with us.
Hi, this is Tiki Barber. My football career taught me the importance of being prepared for game time, and now that I own multiple businesses, being prepared means having capital when I need it. That's where Cabbage comes in, with flexible lines of credit of up to $150,000. Apply online and get a decision right away. Withdraw funds when you need them without reapplying. Cabbage has supported over 100,000 small businesses. Get started at cabbage.com/gametime or 888-CABBAGE. That's Cabbage with a K, 888-CABBAGE.
Line of credit is subject to credit approval. See terms and conditions.
AutoZone presents your headlights. As the days get shorter, your headlights need to shine at their brightest. And upgrading to a brighter light can really maximize your safety. Right now, get a $10 AutoZone gift card by mail when you buy two single Sylvania Silver Star Ultra Headlight Capsules or a twin pack. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner, so you can fix your car with confidence. Let's get you what you need. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
GEICO presents eyewitness interviews with inanimate objects.
This is Belinda Collins, live on the scene of a recent kitchen fire. Here to describe the event, a refrigerator.
I was just chilling, keeping some lettuce and dairy products cold, when the toaster starts shooting sparks. Next thing I know, he lit a cabinet on fire.
Did you try and stop the flames?
I'm a refrigerator, not a fireman.
Your refrigerator can't help with a kitchen fire, but the GEICO Insurance Agency can help you get covered for personal property damage. Go to geico.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
Monday through Friday from 3 to 4, the Gym Class with UNASH and Dukes, KGYM.
And our thanks to Brian Estridge, TCU play-by-play voice, for joining us. Chris Liss of rotowire.com, right around the corner, if you want to start getting in your texts at 319-366-1600 on the Hurtine & Stocker text line. Oh, TCU-Iowa State is just one of the big matchups this week in the state of Iowa, Mark. It all starts tonight.
We're not speaking of the Dodgers and Astros either. It's Bowling Night in America, and it's position night.
Yes, it is.
Since we are tied for second and hold the tiebreaker over KBO Catering, Rusty Nails will face Durline Scale, the league leader right now at 21-7. We are 19-9, and well, this thing could Durline could lengthen the lead. They could relinquish it. You shall see on lanes 19 and 20 tonight at May City Bowl.
Of course, our preview brought to you by May City Bowl and Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the home of Bowling Night in America.
Great night last week. Hopefully, we didn't waste everything because without me, which is probably a good thing, bowled the high series in the league for the year.
Yes, we did.
Last week. So, a little more of that. Please.
Please. That would be good tonight. And, we don't want to sour what the Pin Pals did for the league last week by getting those four games from the league leaders and helping everybody out to make it just a little tighter. And it's always a little bit more fun when it's a little more tighter in the standings, right?
Yeah, we just had Durline Scale a couple, 3 weeks ago. And what was it? We won one out of four. So they're a tough nut to crack, no question about it, with the Durlines and Roger Taylor, Kevin Klein, Mitch Golden, and the like. So we shall see.
some good seats are available. If you would like to stop on by, Shadow Ball's at 6. League starts at 6:15.
Right across from the bar. Grab a seat at the bar.
Can't beat
that. You don't
that.
Like what's going on in the alley? Look at the World Series game.
They'll have it on.
Yeah.
I'll have it ready to go. And a cold drink right there at your ready. And also at May City, they have, of course, a terrific pro shop down there that Andy helps out with.
Andy Dirk's doing a great job there. And if you're interested in holding a party out there or want to inquire about open bowling, even league bowling, give them a call, 362-0136, or visit the website, maycitybowlcr.com.
Oh, it's going to be a red letter night. Also, cash on the line tonight, too. Should we even mention that?
That's, no, I don't even care about the
that's
cash.
That's down the
tonight.
Line, isn't it? It's like the Super Bowl. We don't care about the cash. We just want to win the trophy.
22:58, the Pen Pals have met a real scheduling buzzsaw. Last week, Durline, and this week, the Blind.
That is, yeah. Now, keep in mind, never mind. We've explained
that.
It's
a team that doesn't exist.
That's
right. We have an odd number of teams in the league.
That's just what it's called.
Yeah.
Okay. That's just what it's called. All right, we'll take a break. Come back. Your questions for Chris List when we return after this here on KGYM. May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
Own your man motions this season. Scream at a fumble, get misty at the Hail Mary pass, or ugly cry when your draft team tanks. Which won't judge? They'll just show up with box lunches, mini sandwiches, pasta salads, wraps, trays of sweets, whatever you order, and bring it right to your football watch party or tailgate. Which Superior Sandwiches, catering to the emotional football fans up and down the corridor. Place your catering order for the next home game now at whichwich.com.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com salutes the employee of the month, the one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
Dave, why have you been shredding for hours?
The boss said we should cut costs, Mr. Employee of the Month.
How does this cut costs?
These are the expense reports for the whole year.
You shredded them all?
Thanks to me, our expenses this year are zero.
If you don't mind hiring Dave's, go to the national job boards. They may be free, but trust us, they'll cost you. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Looking back at the glory days while keeping the pulse on the here and now. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class. KGYM.
3:45. Chris List of RotoWire.com. His appearance is brought to you by I'm On Communications, the official sponsor of all things fantasy football here on KGYM. And we're going to talk with Chris coming up here in just a moment. And I think we got so many texts coming in, it froze the text line. Maybe you should try to get out of it and get it back up again. I don't know. What are you thinking?
I'm attempting.
Okay. All right. 316-1600. You can always call us and do that. Or you can text on the Hurtina's Doctor text line as we get that taken care of. Mark does here presently. How you doing over there?
I'm still working.
Still working? All right. Very good. While you're working, we'll bring in Chris List of RotoWire.com here on a Wednesday. Chris, how are you?
I'm doing all right. How about you guys?
Doing okay. I'm happy I did not sit Amari Cooper. Thank you for that piece of advice last week.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that I even gave it out. You actually thinking of sitting Amari Cooper? Are you crazy?
No, I wouldn't. But there were people that were asking the question. So, there you go.
Yeah, sure.
And he came through in a big, big way. Now, on the other side of the coin, Cam Newton did not help me in my other league. So that got a little bit messy at times.
Yeah, I liked Cam last week, but the Bears' defense is actually not terrible. I think Cam will bounce back this week. I'm starting to get the feeling with Cam that he really can punish a bad defense, but a tough defense is a problem for them because they don't have any rhythm. You know, it's like Cam can sometimes scramble or he can throw downfield to receivers, but there's not that like calm driving rhythm that other teams have. And against a strong defense, you need that. Against a bad defense, there's usually someone running free somewhere and he can connect for a big play.
All right. And speaking of, and we are adapting right now. Mark is adapting, and we got text coming in. Mark, go ahead.
Half point PPR, Chris, need a flex from Fuller, Abdullah, and Smallwood.
I don't like any of them, but I guess I'd go Abdullah. He's got a pretty good matchup. The Steelers are very good defense, but they don't defend the run that well. So I think he'll have an okay day. Fuller's been great, but at Seattle, not a place I want to play a receiver.
8258, is Tariq Cohen a must-drop? I need to choose between him, Collins, and Stewart. I could pick up Theo Riddick.
Yeah, Riddick and Cohen are kind of similar. You could drop any of those guys. I guess I'd keep Collins because he's getting a lot of the early down work. Jonathan Stewart is just, I think he's done. So Cohen or Stewart, 50-50. If you know, Stewart will get more touches, he's guaranteed, but Cohen can actually do something with him.
Cameron would like to ask, he's in a standard league. Start one of these, Matt Ryan, Derek Carr, or Andy Dalton.
I'm going to say Andy Dalton against the Colts.
0656, Tyrod Taylor or Deshaun Watson?
Tyrod Taylor. Don't mess with Watson in Seattle is my advice.
Pick one wide receiver in a standard league. Amendola, Doxson, or Stills?
I'm going to say Doxson. Doxson.
Should I drop Kyle Rudolph for Croft?
No.
I like Kyle Rudolph.
Adam the Mason. Go ahead.
I see he's steady. He's fine. Yeah.
Adam the Mason, Deshaun Watson, or Cam Newton?
Cam Newton.
Boy, that's tough. I've got both of those guys and Derek Carr, Chris, and I'm picking the wrong one every week.
I would go Watson against any kind of, you know, regular matchup. It would really impress me if Watson lights up Seattle. I don't think he's going to do it. It's possible, obviously. I might go Carr in your shoes. I think Carr is a little safer, but Newton has more upside. I don't know. I might go Newton, actually.
I'm not sitting out this segment, everyone. there's no way in the world I can read from here to where you are reading.
Not a camera in here, but we're making it do. 94-89, Matt Moore or Trevor Siemian?
I'm going to say Trevor Siemian. Hopefully he evolves. That's a joke, by the way.
33-54.
Not this week.
Dalton or Cousins?
I'm going to go Cousins. I think Cousins can have a huge game.
91-36, Andy Dalton or Matt Stafford? It's a 1QB league. And also, go ahead.
Dalton.
Another question from the same, Croft or Jared Cook, 1 point PPR?
Cook. He's been good. He's been good this year.
319-366-1600 if you'd like to get a question in from Chris Liss of rotowire.com, and his appearance brought to you by I'm On Communications, as always.
1954 is in a standard league, Chris. Chris Hogan, Keenan Allen, or Thielen? Needs two.
Thielen and, 50-50 between Hogan and Allen. I'll say Allen. I've said Hogan. But Hogan can get a touchdown. He gets a lot of red zone looks.
72-82, Ryan or Wilson?
Wilson.
Okay, a half point Leah PPR league, Chris. Do I roll with Amir Abdullah or do I put my trust in C.J. Anderson again only to have my heart broken?
I'm sorry about the heartbreak. I'll go C.J. Anderson. I think Abdul is a low upside guy.
82-58 is in a standard league. Mohamed Sanu or Will Fuller?
I would say Sanu is garbage, but I'll say Sanu.
Yeah, get those questions in here to Chris, 319-366-1600. I have a selfish question for you. The Giants have now, Wayne Gallman is, after I chose the wrong Giants running back for the second time this year, he's not going to play very much, is he?
I mean, you know, it's possible, but Dark was definitely the starter now. Paul Perkins is going to be back probably after the bye, and you'd think they'd be done with him, but they might not be. So I wouldn't feel bad about dropping Coleman if that's what you're asking.
Yeah, I keep picking the wrong Giant running back, though. And I don't think Perkins is going to make a big dent in things when he does come back.
He might not. I mean, you know, he might be the third string, but we just don't know because he's been hurt. So we haven't really gotten any information of where he's going to slot in. Darkwood's been good enough that I assume he's keeping the job. And Gallman's been fine as a backup. So I assume Perkins is number three, but there's just not been anything said about it.
Did get a phone call there, and the caller wanted to know, is Jared Goff a weekly starter?
I think there's only four weekly starters. Okay? Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Watson, with the exception of being in Seattle, and maybe Carson Wentz. Everybody else, you're playing matchups. I wrote about this week. This is a year where quarterbacks, you know, it doesn't matter what the name on the back of the jersey says. It matters who he's playing and what the circumstances are.
More texts rolling in, 8735. Should I play Roethlisberger or Dalton?
Dalton.
5232, folks, that's a trend there. He likes Dalton this week. is J.J. Nelson worth hanging on to?
No.
Another quarterback question, 1753, Matt Ryan or Carr?
Very close. I'll go Carr on a hunch, but it's 50-50.
Matt Ryan's got to break out of this sometime, doesn't he?
Well, you know, you've heard about the Super Bowl hangover, and I don't know if that's true or not, but that's just for the team that loses the Super Bowl often plays poorly the following year. The Panthers played poorly after they lost the Super Bowl. You see it happen a lot. The way in which the Falcons lost the Super Bowl isn't just a normal hangover. It's like a hangover where you got blacked out, you got fired from your job, you drunk dialed your ex-girlfriend or ex-wife, you wrapped your car around a tree. I mean, this is not an ordinary hangover. This is the worst hangover you could ever have. So I don't know like if they can put this back together. So I don't know. Matt Ryan is a better quarterback than he's played so far. He's not as good as he was last year. But I don't know when the rebound is going to happen.
Derek would like to know, do I pick up Rod Smith or is Zeke still going to play all year? And that's the $100,000 question.
My hunch is that Zeke is going to play. I could be wrong, but even if I am wrong, we don't know if it's Rod Smith, Darren McFadden, Alfred Morris. So don't bother to pick up Rod Smith unless you just truly have an empty bench slot that you have nothing else for.
Standard scoring, Isaiah Crowell or Washington from the Raiders?
I'm going to say Washington.
29-11, Russell Wilson or Kirk Cousins?
Ooh, I like them both quite a bit. Flip a coin. I'll say Cousins, but I like them both. Those are two of my top five.
52-32. Didn't mean Nelson. Meant Randall Cobb without Aaron Rodgers. Should he drop him?
I don't see any reason to keep him if there's anything that you want on the waiver wire.
Similar. What do I do with Jordy Nelson?
I mean, I you know, he has a little bit more value, but you know, Jordy Nelson is basically as fast as Scott Unash at this point. not sure.
I had some speed.
You may have had some speed. I don't know. I really don't. I truly don't know your speed, but I'm assuming it's not NFL wide receiver, especially since I've been doing the show for like 15 years and you were at least 30 probably when we started. I'm guessing from the math that you probably aren't NFL speed. But I could be wrong. But Rodgers still will get some targets, so I wouldn't drop him just for. I would drop him in the right circumstances, but I wouldn't drop him for just anybody.
I can tell you, Unash is a pattern guy, Chris. So
yes, I am. Yes, I am.
91-36. Seattle's defense, is it safe to start against Houston?
I mean, nothing's safe for the defenses, but I would use them this week, yeah.
57-53 is in a PPR league and wants to know if this is a good trade. Davante Adams for Martavis Bryant, Julio Jones for A.J. Green, and Gronk for Zach Ertz.
I mean, Jones and Green, Gronk and Ertz are about equal.
Mm-hmm.
But the first one, who was it for?
Davante Adams and Martavis Bryant.
Davante Adams is more valuable because he's going to get some targets, even if they're substandard targets. And Martavis Bryant is, you know, with like the practice, you know, he's like at the scouting team right now. He's not even going to play. He might not even be active. So you're saying the whole package is kind of a challenge trade. I mean, sure, if you want to do it. It's about equal. It's roughly equal.
You got time for one or maybe two quick ones, Chris. Play McKinnon or Ajayi, standard scoring league. I have Zeke and Gordon are my other backs.
I'll go Ajayi, but it's close.
26-49, last... go ahead.
Don't brag. Tell the texter, don't brag.
Last text, Brait or Howard?
I would still say Brait, but you know Howard's coming on, but I'll say Brait.
All right. You mentioned you got articles that people can read and all kinds of stuff at rotowire.com for people.
That is correct. Rotowire.com/trial is a free 10-day trial. You do not need a credit card. We have updates, start, sit. If you have start, sit questions, go to the weekly rankings. It will implicitly answer every single question you have. Rotowire.com/trial. Also, there's an ask an expert feature where you get a 24-hour email returned to you, any question you have. Once again, rotowire.com/trial.
Yep, that is a very, very neat little system right there. Hey, Chris, appreciate it. Best of luck this weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. You too.
All right. Chris Liss of rotowire.com. His appearance brought to you by I'm On Communications. Coming up tomorrow, we'll have Cal Eldred back with us, rescheduled from Tuesday, and Mike Grimm from the University of Minnesota Golden Gopher football program, play-by-play voice. We'll talk about that, and we'll let you know how things went tonight.
Thanks to Kyle Mann, our producer, for rescuing the Chris Liss segment.
There you go. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn next.
And we're back in studio with Oregon's mascot, the Duck. So what was it like to star in this season's Nissan Heisman House?